Today's guest is a business owner, an expert marketing strategist, and is dedicated to showing up for her clients as the queen of quizzes. And honestly, so much more. Joining me in welcoming to the Invisible to Invincible podcast, Ty Goodwin, the CEO and marketing strategist at That Marketing Team. Ty is passionate about helping entrepreneurs achieve their business goals. She's a wealth of marketing knowledge, and I cannot wait for you to hear her thoughts and her insights and our super nerdy marketing conversation that I absolutely loved. So let's get started. Welcome, Ty. Thanks for being here today.
I am so excited to have this conversation, Kendra.
I am really excited to talk to you because you have a very interesting story and business that you've created. Can you tell our listeners today how you got started with That Marketing Team?
Oh, wow. That Marketing Team is probably the third or fourth iteration of my business. Like a lot of us, you know, we start off thinking we want to do one thing and then it evolves and it develops. And what happened was after my last day job, which is about 7 years ago at this point, I realized that I needed to have a way to build my audience back. And so I used a quiz. And within about 10 business days, I had about 500 people on my email list that I used to build my business off from a quiz. Mm-hmm. And that worked out so well that after I had ran through those 500 names and I needed more people, I started using Facebook ads. And so I used Facebook ads to drive traffic to a quiz. And in about 4 months, I had about 9,000 people on my email list. And from there, I was hooked. I'm like, okay, this is great. So at that time, I was running a coaching practice. When I realized the power of quizzes, and my clients started saying, well, can you do that for me too? And so we decided to step away from coaching and then start with the agency, That Marketing Team. And we were building lead generation systems, focusing on quizzes for our clients. And that's how we got to be That Marketing Team.
I love that. Okay. And I love the timing of this because quizzes have come up so many times lately from different people that I've talked to, different people asking about it. And I've created them in the past and it was for a very niche audience and I didn't come up with the right topic. And so it didn't result in the way I had hoped. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you about that, but let's go back. Go back to 7 years ago when you started your, was that when you started your coaching business?
That was the second time of me starting my coaching business. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning. When did you decide to start your own business and what was some of the mindset? What was some of the mindset behind that?
Well, the first time I started my business was about 21 years ago. It was when my daughter was born. And I started it because my intention was, I don't want to have a day job. I don't want to have to put her in daycare. So I am going to start my own business. And back then I was doing virtual assistant work, right? And this is like so old. I was doing like Dreamweaver and desktop publishing. And like, oh my gosh, what is that? Like that's like Quark Express, like way back in the day.
Oh, no.
I started and it didn't quite work out that way. I ended up launching while working for a period of time. But my first time quitting like a day job or leaving a day job was back around 2012. And I did that for about 2 or 3 years and ended up having to go back to a day job. So This is my second iteration of being a full-time entrepreneur. And we're going into our seventh year.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I actually like that part is very aligned. I've been laid off so many times. And one of them was after the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing just consulting. I didn't call myself an entrepreneur, but I ended up doing consulting and marketing strategy for businesses for a few years. And then I went back and got a day job as well. And then 2016, I got laid off again twice that year. And that's when I started my business because I was like, you know what? I can make my own practice difference. I've been laid off 6 times. Like that was my initial motivation, which I will be the first to say is not a great motivation. Like being there for your daughter is a much better motivation for starting your business. But as you started, what made you decide to actually pivot? Because coaches tend to like to be coaches, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what it honestly was at the time? There weren't a lot of people coaching, and there weren't a lot of people coaching that looked like me, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. My initial thought was I had this amazing experience with a coach, and she had helped with a career coach, and she had helped me go from a $43,000 job to a $68,000 job in one move. Nice. And I was like, oh my gosh, coaching is amazing. And I was a single mom at the time. So, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm going to help other people do the same thing. And 20 years ago, there was not a lot of career coaching that people were willing to pay for. Right. And I wasn't at the level of doing executive coaching at the time. I was trying to make this work and it just really wasn't happening. And so I pivoted, right? Because what happened was as a mom, as a new mom, I didn't have time to network and go out, but I used social media because Facebook was just really getting its kick back then. And so I started using Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn to build an audience. And then people said, well, can you show us what you're doing? Because you're doing a great job. Can you just show us? And so I started teaching people, right? Mm-hmm. Before I did anything corporate, I was a school teacher. Right? Okay. All right. And so it was easy for me to transition into this teaching people. But then they said, well, can you just do it for me? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. And so that's how that progression went. So I've always kind of had two spots like I do now. I've got two sides of the house. We've got the agency side, but I like to spend a lot of my time on the coaching and teaching side because that's where my heart is.
It's funny you say that because I've gone through several pivots since I've had my business as well. And the last one was instead of managing two sides of my business, one was two sides of an agency. One was focused on cannabis marketing and CBD, and the other was focused on like more traditional, my background's in higher education. I combined them all into one because I just couldn't handle, like, it was just too much. I was burnt out. Yeah. I was doing all these things, and it was very much like that conscious decision of here's what I love to do. Yeah. Here's what I'm really good at doing. Mm-hmm. And what can that look like?
Yeah.
Was that a scary decision for you to make, or did it just feel absolutely right and you went into it with open arms, leaping right in?
Well, you know what? I was, I'm one of those people who, you know, I like to have a lot of options and try different things. And so at the time, it wasn't scary at all. But as I started really thinking about building and building and building, like, I don't want a $1 million marketing agency. I don't want to be the person that I don't get to do the creation and that kind of stuff. I got to spend my time managing people and managing this. Like, that's not the kind of life that I wanted to build. And so I do believe that there's a possibility of using the word and. So it wasn't an or thing. Like, I have to turn this off or I have to do this. But it really came down to making a decision about what do I want it to look like? Focusing on quiz marketing, right, allows me to stay in that boutique realm. Right. Of what we do for folks. So I still get to do the bills and I've got people on my team that do the bills and automation and those kind of things. But it's specifically niched down into what I really enjoy, which is helping people with their quiz lead magnets. Like, I love helping people come up with the concepts and the content because it's not just as simple as, oh, I've got some questions. I want to throw them together, which is what a mistake a lot of people make. But my background, I have a master's degree in instructional design.
Okay.
What I did in corporate America, right? So I got to work with subject matter experts and take all their stuff out of their heads and turn it into courses, right? And so that marries my skill set, what I'm passionate about, but it also gives me a container for making sure I do it only for what I like to do it in. And that was the saving grace.
And there's like, I wish I had known how powerful instructional design was when I was getting my master's. Mine's just in business, which is fine. It's great. I love it. I have a great background, solid background. But having been a professor for a while, teaching marketing and social media, like relying on, and I learned everything I could from instructional designers in order to try and understand how to best create a course. And the amount I leaned on them in the beginning was tremendous. And luckily, I was able to do that at university. So that way I could take it and turn it in for my clients now. But let's go back to quizzes for a second, because I think it's really important. Like I said, it's been coming up a lot in just general conversations that I've been having lately. And a lot of people, because people want more leads and they try different lead magnets and things work or don't work. And then they try something else. And then all of a sudden you have 40 lead magnets and none of them are where you want to be. And it's something that a quiz can do for you a lot easier and just cut through everything to get there.
Right.
What do you find is the like top few mistakes that people make when approaching quizzes?
Oh, yeah. Great question. One of the top mistakes is they just create a bunch of questions and mm-hmm. they don't realize that there's an art and a science to it. And for example, well, yeah, I'll give you this story. There's a woman that she's like, I've got a quiz and nobody's buying my product. So what's the name of your quiz? And her quiz was all around like, what kind of goddess are you? I'm like, okay. And I said, what are you selling?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm selling skincare and lotion. Oh. Like, who takes a goddess quiz to find what they should buy? Right. So it was like, no, like there's a strategy to this. Like you've got to, you know, and so when people like just throw a bunch of questions together and they don't really have a core concept that really connects to the outcome that people want, mm-hmm. like that's a huge, huge red flag. Another big one I see is people will get the generic template from a quiz platform and use yes or no questions and think that. And it's not a quiz. It's not really giving any value to you. And then the third thing is they don't have a funnel for it, right? Oh, they took my quiz. Well, what happens next? Well, I don't know. They took my quiz. They're on my list. No, you got to have the automation that nurtures them after. Otherwise, it's like going on a date with somebody and then ghosting them, right? You had a really great time on a date, but then you don't call them or talk to them anymore. Like that's not going to fly in the dating world. And it's definitely not going to fly in your marketing.
What about the people, and those are really, I've seen all of those. I've probably made some of those mistakes in the past when I was learning and teaching myself some of those things. How, because I, especially the back end funnel piece, right? Like a lot of people spend time strategizing on the questions and reverse engineering from the outcome, but not necessarily, like you said, then just ghosting everybody mm-hmm. afterward.
Yeah.
What do you think is the right... I have a couple different questions for you here, so I'm trying to parse them out in my brain. So what do you think is the right type of quiz for somebody? Like how do people decide what the right type of quiz is or if they need one at all?
Two different questions.
Yes.
I'll start with the do they need one at all. Do you have a way to drive traffic to it? This is the first thing I ask people. He's like, oh, I love a quiz and I love taking quizzes and I want a quiz for my business. How are you going to drive traffic to it? I don't know. I'm going to do social media. Yeah, no, you don't need a quiz if you don't know how to drive traffic to it. Because for the investment of time, energy, and resources, and money, unless you have a plan for driving traffic to it consistently, it's not going to work for you, right? The other thing about needing a quiz, if you're not collecting enough data to make marketing decisions, you probably want to use a quiz. Yes, you could create a checklist, but here's one thing I always say. If you give somebody a PDF, a checklist, or a webinar, the only thing you're going to know about them is their name and their email address.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
If you have a quiz, and you ask the right questions, right? You're going to get so much more data that you can use to make data-driven marketing decisions and data-driven product development decisions, right? So if you're in that space, great. One of my clients had 32,000 people on her email list, had no idea why they were there.
Oh my gosh.
You accumulated them over the years and 32,000 people. Why are they on your list? I don't know. Well, let's give them a quiz to help segment that audience so you now know who to send the right email to, right? So it's that kind of. The second question around what type of quiz, we actually have a quiz around that. And I'm glad to drop the link for your folks so they can take it because there's about 5 or 6 different types of quizzes. And they're not all created equal, from the score-based quiz to a mistake-based quiz to a calculator, which isn't technically a quiz, but it has the same functionality, right? By mm-hmm. giving information you didn't know. But I'll give you a quick example. I work with a lot of people who are coaches, and some of them are parent coaches or like they're tutors, right? And they want to create a quiz. Well, if you're a parenting coach, you're not going to want to give a parent a quiz around what type of parenting mistakes are you making? They're going to chew you.
That's not going to get answered.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. But there are places where you like your audience is very motivated by fear. You don't want to make a mistake, right? And so you might say, what dieting mistake are you making, right? And people who, when I don't want to make any mistakes, I'm going to get this diet right. They're going to go for that quiz and it's going to rock with them. Mm-hmm. But for parents, you're going to want to use something like one of the things we have is like a goal-based quiz, right? What's the fastest way for you to help your kid get over their shyness? Or what's the best way for you to talk to your kid about money? Like those kinds of things that are giving them a solution to a problem they want to solve. So you really want to know about your audience. I was talking to a client earlier today, and she's like, yeah, I think I need to redo my quiz. I'm like, yeah, because the first time she'd done it, not with us, but she did a quiz on her own, she never thought about the audience to offer in her messaging. So now after working with us and we got her offer, her audience and her messaging together, she's like, yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. So you always got to start with that and let that inform what type of quiz you create.
One of the things that I absolutely love about marketing and always have is that intersection of like the art and science, right? The psychology and the motivation and the science of the data that we have.
Yeah.
How, and you just described quite a bit of different approaches, integrated are you in? Do you have to be with the psychology of the target audience?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I would say as much as you can, yeah. Right?
But people like a quiz to try and figure it out.
Well, the quizzes that we create, and I'll use this, the way we describe it is their behaviors.
Okay.
Right? So I would never use a quiz. Like people say, I'm going to use a quiz to figure out my audience. No, that's not a quiz. That's a survey. Like, don't do
right.
that. You want to already know answers so that you can help them fit into the right space. And I'll give you a perfect example. I had a client who would help people get funding and get government contracts. And one of her quiz questions before she worked with us, her quiz question was, do you have the people on your team if you were to get funding?
No.
And it was a yes or no question. I said, of course you're going to say yes. Like, no. And so how we changed that to a behavior base, you just got fund, you just got 25, 250, you just won a $250,000 contract. Who is going to do X on your team? A, I don't have a team, so I guess I'm doing it. B, I have this person on my team. C, I'm going to hire somebody. Right? Or D, I have no idea. So those four answers are going to give you so much information, because now if they're the person doing everything on their team and your company is when it helps them build a team, now how to sell to them, right? So that's the behavior-based thing that we focus on with our questions.
It is so interesting because when I was in my 20s, my roommates were all recruiters. And so I was used to they would practice their behavior-based questions as they were learning that ability. And that skill set, we would just always bounce back and forth and interview each other. And it was definitely those behavior-based questions can make such a difference, whether you're hiring or when you're, it's really good to add that into when you're looking at your target audience, because there's a lot of ways to gather research on who you're targeting that will help you get there in a deeper way, one, and help them be what they're doing or what not they're not doing. In a deeper way.
Exactly. And I want to be clear about this too. Like a lot of people, like you asked about the psychology of your audience. And a lot of times people will do psychographics. I'm going to figure out how much money they make. And then psychographics, I'm going to figure out what they really want. Well, there's a whole other list of questions that kind of go into that, right? Like, why are they buying? Like, what makes them buy? What turns them off from buying? Now, those aren't things that you necessarily need to do for your quiz. But it does help you with marketing your quiz to the right audience, right? So it's knowing the nuances between what's the psychological avatar or profile of my people, but then what's the behaviors that are going to help me market better to them or sell better to them? And those are two different things.
So interesting. I'm so deep in marketing nerd right now, but it's one of those things where, and if you're listening, I apologize if you're not a marketer or are unfamiliar with those, feel free to drop questions in the comments because we will happily answer them. One of the things that when I was teaching marketing 101, basically there's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the first time I taught it, I was like, you need to know this, blah, 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 blah. And the amount of times it has come up in my life since, that shameful little 34-year-old know-it-all that was teaching that class to those students did a disservice to the actual needs and understandings and the psychology and understanding values when it comes to an audience and how you can implement those concepts and ideas.
Yeah. 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 And I wish more people kind of focused on that some too, because I see a lot of people, there's this whole debate about, do you use pain-based language or do you use this right. and that? And that goes right back to what you're saying about the psychology, right? The people that are affluent or at a different level, like they're not driven by needs of safety, right? They're not driven by needs of, let me save money. Right. They're not driven by those things. So if your messaging is always all about that, you're targeting people who are at a different place and they respond differently. They buy differently. They make decisions differently. And if you don't factor that into your messaging and your lead magnets, you'll be creating lead magnets, whether it's a quiz or anything else, you'll be creating the wrong thing and wondering why I've got this amazing lead magnet, but it's not pulling in sales because it's not targeting the right people.
And it's not, you know, and it could be small things like your messaging or your approach, right? Like if you're fear-based and everything's fear-based, and they're looking for enlightenment, you're looking at some driving someone away from fear and versus towards what they're, that place of balance or that place of calm or ease or whatever it is. My gosh, I think that's so interesting. So what about the business owner who, or coach or consultant who is just trying to figure out how to grow their business, right? Like I do a lot of mindset work with people, but with NLP stuff, but what about the people who are stuck and looking for clarity in their marketing or that confidence and how to start growing and making movement when it comes to their list, when it comes to their audience?
I do work in that area with a lot of our clients too. A lot of them are, you know, they've done really well with referral marketing and now they're in that space where they're trying to keep going to the multiple six-figure level or even hit their first real six figures and understand like how they got there. And one of the things that I'm running into with a lot of folks is that they never really did the work to get the clarity around their offer audience and messaging. And so like, I'm trying to grow my list, I'm trying to build my audience. And it's like, well, who are you talking to?
Yep.
Them. No. And one of the things that makes it hard for them to show up, a lot of the problems, they don't have the confidence, right? So if you don't have confidence, it's really hard for you to be confident when you don't know your offer, your audience, and your messaging. Because now you're always going to feel like you're stumbling over your words and you really don't know what you're saying and who you're talking to. And so you've got to dig deep and do that work. And messaging has become super, super important because the market is cluttered right now. The internet and social media is great. But what it's done is it made the barrier of entry into entrepreneurship really easy. I can go have a photo shoot or use my phone and take some selfies. I could put a picture out there and I can say, I'm a coach.
Yep.
And people do it all the time. No training.
I'm a marketing strategist.
So, yeah, I had a post on Facebook. So now I'm a Facebook strategist. Like, but so it's made that open for a lot of people. So now how do you cut through the clutter? And it's about your messaging. Like, stop using fluff. Speak about what you want. And I wrote a post the other day and it resonated with a lot of people. I said, stop trying to create content that's relevant and focus on being the revolutionary you are.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to, I want people to like this. I want this. And I tell myself all the time, Kendra, the reason I had to go back to a day job after that first time I was out, I was Facebook rich and profit poor for 5 years. Mm-hmm. They liked me. They were sharing my content all the time. You're so smart. Oh, you're so brilliant. Didn't buy didn't buy anything. And until I learned, and I invested in some programs, I invested in some coaching and some training and all those things to understand better how to market and how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And part of that is you've got to show up with confidence in what you do. And it's really hard to be confident if you don't know what you're offering, if you don't know who you're talking to, and if you really don't believe that they should be paying you. And this goes back to the mindset piece, right? So if you haven't done the work around your feelings of worth, it's going to be hard for you to sell something of value because you really don't believe that about yourself and what you do.
I see that a lot. I also see, especially when I was working in cannabis and CBD, right? Like everyone wanted to get farther faster.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think they need to do that work. They don't think they need, and I didn't think I needed to do that work in the beginning too, because I've won awards, I've done this, I've done that, blah, 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 you know, and then I realized I was getting in my own way. But, and that was part of why I started doing NLP the first time. And then I was like, this has been really helpful. Let me get certified so I can help others with this because it was so powerful. But when you start to look at building a solid foundation, like that message, offer, and audience piece is so critical. And it is the piece that most people skip right over.
Yeah.
Because it's not sexy. It's like the solid foundational piece that is so necessary. Yeah, and yet the amount of time most people spend on it is so small.
A lot of what I see too is people just trying to copy what they saw somebody else do. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person is like one of the big things now is doing like faceless Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I saw somebody making a lot of money doing faceless Instagram. So now I'm going to do that too. And I'm big on practicing what I teach, right? So I'm not going to tell my clients to do something I'm not doing in my business, number one. And to a lot of people, that because I watched a YouTube video, I'm going to tell you how to do it now. Like, get out of here, right?
Yeah.
You can't, just because you can tell me the four steps, you really don't know how to make it work. And I see it happen all the time, because what will happen is you'll do the four steps and it'll work for like the first 3 weeks. And then it doesn't work anymore. And because the person wasn't trained, they can't fix it because all they know is four steps.
Right.
And so then you're like, oh, it doesn't work. And I've seen it with quizzes too. Oh, quizzes don't work. Well, no, you watched somebody's video that told you to put some questions on the thing and then write some outcomes and make a video. And they gave you the steps, but they never explained to you, hey, you know your quiz won't work if your offer, audience, and messaging isn't lined up. And you do realize that even if you create a quiz, you gotta drive traffic to it. Right?
That's hard.
Oh, right.
If you build it, they come, right?
No.
I think it's so fascinating because, like I said, everyone's taking quizzes. Everyone, like I said before, it's come up so many times lately. And I don't know if people fully realize all that goes into creating a quiz, right? Because there's, like you've said, you've outlined some of the different steps, right? There's the driving, there's the creating it and reverse engineering it and making sure your questions are right, getting it set up, getting your funnel set up so that way you're not ghosting people, and driving traffic to it. There's no magic wand that does that. You can't plug it into AI and have it show up perfectly for your business.
Well, how was
almost, I know.
You got some prompts that do that, that will help you create all the content for your quiz. And it's magical. And my clients love that side of it. But you're right. Like, you have to do some work. And I say that quizzes are the new webinar. There are still people today trying to figure out how to make money from webinars and how to put webinars together, right? Huge industry. You know, when I did my first webinar, Kendra, 1999.
There you go. Yep.
And folks who were worried, I worked for a company and it was a national company and I was doing training for their service departments and their sales teams and all that kind of stuff. And we couldn't bring them into the main company. And so we were worried that Y2K was going to wipe out all the computers and wouldn't be able to train. Yep. So I've been doing webinars and that's not even the beginning of the webinar industry, right? But I've been doing webinars since 1999. So think about that. 24 years later, there are still people trying to figure out how to use webinars. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that. And we're in that same thing with quizzes where people are still trying to figure out, right, how do we make this work? And so you've got to give yourself some grace, but also recognize it is not just throwing questions together and praying and hoping that people will find your quiz and that it will work. There's an art and a science to it that will make it work, just like there's an art and a science to webinars, just like there's an art and a science to landing page and copies and funnels. And so you have to be willing to make that investment in it. And there is no magic wand for any of this stuff.
Mm-mm. One of the things that when I was going through your website and your resources, I found that I really liked was, because I always say that really, I'm a huge fan of live video. Like, if you're going to show up, video is one of the ways you can show up and just cut through the clutter, because as of right now, the AI replications of people aren't quite there yet. But like, you have videos on some of your landing pages, you are showing up in your copy on your website. And I think that that's really important. One of the things that I see a lot of people do as well is hide behind their logo, hide behind their business. So they either put their face all over their website with their selfies and with their photo shoot, and then post don't really show up themselves, or they are showing up and they're actually cutting through because here's who I am. Here's what I do. I actually put into action what I'm doing. and it makes a big difference.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think you have to be willing in this day and age for the kind of business that you want to build. You have to be in a position to build relationships. And that's mm-hmm. what a large part of that, and for me showing up is. I work in you know this, the marketing industry in general had been male dominated. And to be quite honest, it had been white male dominated. That were looking like you or me in this space. And so one of the reasons I was intentional about showing up and being visible and was because people wanted to see somebody that they could connect to and relate to and that was familiar to them, right? Yeah. I'm not a bro. So we don't do that kind of marketing. We build real relationships and we make real connections. Now, for me, that works because that's the kind of business that I want to build. And I will say this, there is no right or wrong. It's what works for you. So if you want to be faceless, be faceless, but just realize you're going to have to do a lot of ad money and a lot of other things that somebody who's out there being more visual and more organic, they may not have to do. There's no right or wrong. You're going to find that you have to do what works for how you want to show up and what works to get you the clients in your business. And that's it.
You're much nicer than I am. I'm like, show up. It is wrong. Show up. No. And I distinctly remember sitting, I had just found out I won a national award for marketing and higher education. And I was at the American Marketing Association conference in Boston. The audience was 70% women, I would say. And they had the audacity to, and this was 2011, to bring onto the stage the top marketers in the world or in the country. And they were all like white guys wearing Dockers who were 5'10". I lost my freaking mind on Twitter. I have never rage tweeted so many tweets in my life during that like 20-minute panel of these guys all congratulating themselves.
I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, there's a lot of it. That was just the one where I really like it really came full circle for me because I knew it, but to actually say they're the best in the country at what they do, I lost my mind. Like, that's not okay. There's nothing about this that's okay. And unfortunately, it's happened many, many times since. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's why I'm such a proponent of we have to show up, because there's a way of approaching marketing that doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to approach it in, I want to say, a bro way, but you don't have to approach it in a way that doesn't feel authentic. And if it doesn't feel authentic to you not to show up, I get it. Mm-hmm. But there is a need for more smart women with experience who are really good at what they do, really good at what we do, to show up, because that's the only way that those connections are truly going to be made. I believe it's the only way those connections are truly going to be made, and that other people can see other people who look like you, who are like you, who aren't, to speak for me, who aren't perfect, who aren't showing up as super polished and experienced. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
I'm real. I'm tired of the overly polished.
I say that all the time. Like, we are so over perfect. And I say, we want people who are practicing, not perfect.
Yeah.
Because those people that have been perfect, what they presented to us is bullcrap. Right.
Oh,
like, and then the foundation crumbles underneath. Right. And then everybody goes scattering. And so I'm always, like I say, I practice what I teach, and I want people who are practicing, not perfect. I'd rather grow with them than be sold a bill of crap that is not true, because there's no need for that in this day and age. And I think a lot of women, especially those of us who are intuitive and empathic, we've always kind of like, it's rubbed us the wrong way, which is why a lot of women will say, well, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to be this. And it's, and then here's what I've learned after hearing so many of us say that. It's not that we really see ourselves that way. We just don't want to come off like we see those folks, right? We don't want to be put in the same category. And we kind of transfer that onto ourselves. Well, if I do that, and it's not, like, there's a way for you to have relationships with people. There's a way for you to network, and there's a way for you to reach people, do cold outreach. There's a way for you to sell authentically and learn how to do it in a way that's authentic to you. That can be done.
Absolutely. I would much rather listen to someone's perspective, mm-hmm. whether I agree with it or not, than perfection, right? Like, I want to know the unique perspective that you have than that you're perfect.
Exactly.
And I think that there's a lot of room for that. And if you can help someone decide that the best way for them to show up is to actually grow their list and be seen and make those things possible, and you can do that in a way, in a quiz, or that helps them connect even better, that's the first step in that engagement. It's the very first step a lot of times in creating that connection. And it's so powerful.
Yeah, it is. The two things that boil down for the folks that I work with is they need audience and authority, right? Because mm-hmm. if we can help them build their audience and establish their authority by speaking and having their message and amplifying their presence and those kind of things, those are the things that will help people sell easier in the times that we're in, because sales have gotten a little bit more challenging, because there's not just 10 people that are talking about what you're talking about. There's like 100 people now, right? Times 10 talking about what you're talking about. And so if you don't have a way to build your audience and show up with authority, you're always going to be the person that's kind of struggling to get those leads in and struggling to get those sales.
Absolutely. And showing up with confidence.
Yeah.
Ty, it's been so wonderful talking with you today. As we're looking to wrap up, what advice do you have for people who are listening?
Ooh, you know what? The advice that I've been giving out to folks right now is that it is your duty. It is your obligation to show up.
Mm-hmm.
If people can't find you that need your services, it's not their fault.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So much opportunity and space for you to make yourself visible, whether you're on camera or not.
Right.
But there's so much opportunity for you to do that. You have to make that decision. So don't, there's nothing passive about this, right? There's no, I'm just going to hope and pray that somebody sees my post. Don't do that. You're proactive. You are taking action to be visible to those people that need you. And that is part of your job of being an entrepreneur and a leader.
Yes, yes, yes. Totally agree. And Ty, I'm going to put everywhere all the links below of where people can reach you so that you can go check out Ty's quizzes and her services, because it's a fantastic way to grow your business. It's a fantastic way to grow your list and increase the number of people that you're connecting with. So thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate it. And thank you for everyone listening. And remember, at KendraLosi.com, you can find marketing strategy and coaching and the Invisible to Invincible Lab, which has already started, but you can join the waitlist because I am helping these students bring clarity, confidence, and consistency to how they and their business show up, and you can do it too. Remember that it's never too late to make your business and career work for you and not the other way around. Thank you.